WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy, and welcome to this here episode of BRB UK.
Gotcha! Dan's not here. Welcome to BRB UK, your video game podcast from BigRedBarrel.com. Dan is out this week, so jumping in the hot seat will be myself, and I am Coleman. Hi! Sat in the super comfy second chair will be the one Mr. Timothy Kenneth James Hibbs.
Hello!
How are you, sir?
You full named me again, Coleman.
I love full naming you. It's like my favourite thing to do.
It's a security breach in podcast form.
Yeah. Right, so before we get to it, there is a lot to talk about in the world of gaming this week, including the stuff that we won't even have time to talk about. So if you just indulge me for a sec, Tim.
Right.
Daddy Jeff Kaplan has left, or is leaving Blizzard after 19 years, which has just filled the Overwatch community with confidence when it comes to the upcoming sequel. Amazon has cancelled the Lord of the Rings MMORPG, which puts them in direct competition with Google to take the title of the most money spent on developing titles that will never see the light of day.
I'd forgotten that was a thing, to be fair, so fair enough if they did as well. I mean, they obviously were more financially invested in it, and generally, possibly, than I was, but still.
And Nintendo of America, with their president Doug Bowser, has filed a lawsuit against Team Executor's leader Gary Bowser, which makes for Bowser Fight! But first, Tim.
Yes.
Baseball.
Bowsers usually go after princesses, not other Bowsers. Just you know.
We need to talk about baseball because we
are two massive, which is a rare thing on this show.
Massive baseball fans, as everyone knows.
Just so BRB UK, Coleman.
Yeah.
Not much baseball in the UK.
Big Red Baseball UK. Not much. That's us. That's us. We love it. Sox, Yankees, other ones. Philadelphia 76ers.
I didn't know this until I booted up MLB The Show, but I guess I have a baseball team now.
Oh yeah?
Yep, Cincinnati Reds. They're the Reds, which, you know, but they also call themselves Big Red something. So I can't remember what the something was, but they're big and they're red. So I guess that's my baseball team now.
They
won 5 World Series, apparently.
Big Red something sounds like they could be the tribute act to Deep Blue something. Yeah, pulling out that 90s one-hit wonder knowledge for you. Right, so we've been talking about MLB The Show 21, which of course has got its release on Game Pass, which topic of discussion a couple of weeks back, as this is a PlayStation title. Tim, you've actually been playing this, so I've got a question to start off.
Mm-hmm.
Does this open up with the PlayStation Studios title screen, any of that stuff?
Literally, it says, I think it's Sony Computer Interactive Entertainment, or whatever it is.
Well, the black background, yeah, the white font.
Yeah. And that's just the weirdest thing to see on your Xbox ever. Like, literally, half the reason I played this game was for the novelty of seeing that screen on my Xbox. What are you doing? What? I appreciate that. This is a reduction and ignores lots of other things that are going on. But it's basically, at the moment, okay, they gave us Soulstorm for free last week, for instance, which is something, yes, you know, it definitely softens the blow a little bit. But it kind of seems at the moment, in terms of games I definitely want to purchase, although I probably would have purchased Oddworld as well. Here's Outriders for free. Here's every Xbox game for free. Here's some third-party stuff you were going to buy as well, Tim. And would you like to buy Returnal for £70? And I'm like, no.
Well, that's the funny thing, because I'm like, Outriders, I was contemplating picking up before the demo came out, just to sort of be it's a new game, we can talk about it on the show and stuff. And then with the announcement of Game Pass, I was like, yes, I'm definitely picking that up now, because there's no extra charge. And Soulstorm, that, you know, I was intending to buy that anyway. They were going to send us a copy. They ended up releasing on PlayStation Plus, so all happy for that. Now it's kind of a case of, what am I actually buying in terms of video games? And I'm tempted to pick up Returnal just to go, game. But literally, I think my video game purchases, if you don't count subscriptions, has been, because me and Dan were talking about Ollie last week, because Ollie World was just announced, and you can pick up 1 and 2, which is currently on sale on the Switch for a couple of quid. And because of the gold I had saved up, I think I've spent a total of 21 pence on a video game this year. So, but MLB The Show, you'd be mad not to try it, because it's part of your Game Pass Ultimate subscription that you're paying for anyway. What is it, as a person that doesn't play? I mean, neither of us play baseball games. I haven't played a baseball game since the, if you don't count Wii Sports, then the Mega Drive days, and even then, like, not my own games, ones that I've played around my mates or stuff. What are kind of your first impressions getting into a baseball game as someone from the outside who's not into these games?
I mean, I have played baseball games before. I've probably played more baseball in like actual... Well, yeah, I've definitely played more baseball in video game form than I have in real life. That's for sure.
Okay.
Or in any form. But then, I've probably played more like baseball games modes in games than actual baseball games over the years as well. Like, I think Rival okay. Schools had a baseball mode and, like, just, you know, random other games that have that sort of thing in it. But, yeah, like, this is definitely more of a sim, and I'm not sure how accessible it is because I've had a slight difficulty accessing it myself at the moment. Just the slight barrier to entry is that there are lots of control options. Having options is fine, but not knowing which options to pick or having much guidance on the, hey, if you're a beginner, pick this control option would be welcome. I think I ended up going with classic pitching options just because I kind of understood that and that seems to be going okay. But yeah, other than one like massive home run that got me an achievement, yeah, I haven't really got on with batting as well. I think it's a slightly more difficult skill when you don't really know baseball, and I'm not sure if there's like visual clues I need to pick up from the pitcher as to where he's pitching or whether I just need to kind of guess. If I was in his position, I would probably do this now type of idea, you know?
Do you ever look for hand signals? Like, are they doing some
well,
of that?
Well, that's the thing. The guy doing that's behind you. And I'm not sure because I've only really played the training game, like, on the way in, and it allowed you access to that while it was still loading. So I've played that, like, a couple of times. Like, I reset it after my first unsuccessful attempt and went through it again and then had another unsuccessful attempt that I think I've gone, oh, I'm going to just restart this and try again anyway, sort of thing. Keep on getting to the point where I got like bases, like two or three bases loaded kind of thing, and then just strike out and everyone goes home and I don't get any runs kind of thing. But I hit that one home run, that was okay, but batting is probably a bit more difficult a skill to pick up and will probably take a bit more time. That's certainly the way it is in like cricket games, and something I've definitely remember from previous baseball games as well kind of thing. Like, that's the skill that you get better at, and then it's a steeper learning curve, but I think you get more improvement along the way, so you feel better about it in a way, kind of thing. Whereas
right.
pitching and bowling tend to be a slightly steadier skill, and you're just kind of making people guess wrong what type of ball you're pitching at them in baseball's case, basically. But yeah, baseball is one of those games where I understand the basics of the rules. I know you've got to hit it in the diamond to like that to be a legal kind of hit that you can run off and stuff like that.
Hit it within the area of screen and then run around the pitches without someone catching the ball.
But
I don't
quite get the nuances of, like, I can't remember what they call it, but when you like tap it bunting or something, I don't know what the hell it is, but when you just...
That's what you hang up on like V-Day and stuff.
When you don't swing for the fences at all and And then, yeah, I'm not really sure about when I should be stealing bases and when that's an okay thing to do.
You'd never steal a base.
You'd never steal a base. You can turn lots of things, like some of the things, to like automatic, like you can have automatic fielding. But from the practice stuff, like, I seem to be okay at catching at least. So I left that to do non-automatically. But then the thing I kept on doing is not throwing to the correct base when I was fielding to actually like stop home runs and stuff like that. I'd be like, oh, I'd throw to base two and I as I said, don't know much about baseball. I've never been a massive fan, but it's definitely a kind of, you know, an in-depth experience. It's something that even if, you know, Sony were doing it quite cheap, I'm not sure I'd necessarily have picked it up. If they were doing it for free, I'm not even entirely sure I would have picked it up. It was partly for the novelty of, I can't believe there's a Sony game for free on day one on my Xbox. I'm going to have a look at this. That's too weird.
Well, it's funny because I think it was a couple of years ago they gave, or it might have been just a year. It would have been a couple of years ago. We lost a year and I forgot about it.
We don't talk about 2020, Coleman.
We all got snapped away in the blip and came back in 2021 towards the end, I think. But I'm pretty sure they gave away an MLB. I say gave away. They included MLB The Show, some version of, in a PlayStation Plus, which they advertised in one of these state of plays. And I was like, oh, cool. I've never played one of these baseball games. I should really give this a go as it's in my PlayStation Plus. And then loads of people complained. And I think it was either excluded from the UK version or the UK was, they got an extra game added in. But even if I have that game, I never played that version either. And now I've got this one downloaded and I'm still 50-50 on whether I'm actually going to get around to playing it. So, because the whole inspiration was, play it, talk about it on the show. And I still played the ever-loving Mick out of Outriders instead. So.
Yeah, if anyone listening is more of an expert in the field than either of us and can particularly recommend a batting method that is good for beginners, then I'd be interested to hear. I can't remember what one of my picks is. I don't like it, though.
We need to hire the sources of the Boom Show to come in and help us out with this, I think.
Come talk baseball with us.
Maybe some old BRB Blue and alumni to come in, maybe.
We'll give you hot dogs. We'll pay you in hot dogs.
Hot dogs and guns, because America. I don't know.
I may try and play some more and actually, you know, get to a game and play a bit more of it and see how it goes.
I heard there was like a classic mode in there where they try to tone down some of the mechanics to feel a bit more like the older games, and with that there's like rough animations and stuff that play, so it looks like really nice modern day version of the game, but then the animations are like really janky to keep an aesthetic of the older games. So I don't know, I'll have to play around with that. And
it does look nice.
I'm assuming there's some multiplayer there,
like
baseball. So
yeah, we could maybe, yeah, see, that might be better as well. You versus me might be better than either of us playing the computer, Coleman.
Yeah, like I've discovered at several different gaming shows, when it comes to sports games like FIFA or NBA or anything, they are much more fun when you have two people playing them and neither of them know what they're doing. I think that's where I'd be in my wheelhouse.
It's also got an auto difficulty setting, and it's quite demoralizing when it keeps on going, like you're stepping up to bat again and goes, okay, I've made this easier for you. Novice mode engaged.
We'll have to play some online together, see how we fare. We always say that, though, and we've got a bunch of online games we're meant to be playing at the moment, so we'll actually see if that comes to fruition.
But speaking of which, Coleman, I said this to you when I couldn't get on the show last week, but I did, in the sale, pick up a copy of Marvel's Avengers. I mean, I've got the single player to play, but it was mainly so I can play multiplayer with you at some point.
Well, once you get to the point of in the single player, which is early on, where you start opening up the multiplayer stuff, then I can jump in and progress the single player stuff with you.
Help
but also, now is a good time. Now is a good time to play because from today, as we're recording on the 22nd of April, they've actually launched the latest event, which allows you to play all of the same character if you wanted. So you could all be Iron Man, or you can have two Iron Mans, two Hulks, or
what are they calling that event again? Have they got a name for
Tachyon Rift event or something?
Yeah,
something like that. It's something that's going. The Tachyon Rift is a thing.
Pesky
that's
Tachyons.
It's a thing that's been going on for the last 6 months in that game, I think. I don't even know if the game's been out 6 months, but I'm guessing. I don't know. Look, what is time anymore?
But yeah, I mean, that was down to £23 for the regular edition. And thanks to Will for pointing that out so that I remember to actually pick it up while it's
good
on sale.
Good man, Will. Yeah, we've been chatting on the BRB Discord, and there's a couple of people that want to, I think Will was one of them and Bleezy was another. There's a couple of people that are ready to jump in and do some Avengers on that. I think now you're included. I think that actually makes five of us. So we do have enough for one person to drop out and drop back in and swap around and stuff.
That's probably good, knowing our luck at actually finding a time when we can all play together.
That's it. Yeah, we'll have to do some of that.
Yep.
Now, the other thing that you've been dying to talk about, and I'm interested about it, even though this is technically a board game, and you know my feelings on board games, we have electrics now. Why are we? But this one interests me just for the concept alone. You picked up Street Fighter, the miniatures game.
Yes.
Which,
so
was
it's
that
a board
Kickstarter?
Game based on video games, so therefore I'm technically almost allowed to talk about it. So
was this a pre-order or some form of Kickstarter? How did
this
come about?
This was a Kickstarter a while in the making. I checked the other day. In May, and it's just arrived like last week. And in May, it would have been 3 years since I backed it, basically. So it took a while.
I think they just beat Perfect Crime, which we're still waiting for.
They had a small, you know, pandemic that did obviously slow down everything Kickstarter related. But also, they took quite a long time in the approval process, partly because Capcom was involved and had to approve all the artwork on the cards and everything else.
Yeah.
But also, when I'm saying they as well, Angry Joe Show, I should give a shout out to, because Angry Joe of said Angry Joe Show is one of the people that were sort of the big personality behind it and driving it and actually helping create the game as well.
Okay.
But he was heavily involved in the approval process of actually saying, no, we really want really good quality miniatures. And that's one thing I think they particularly have delivered on well. I'm really pleased with the whole package as a whole. I'll hold up. It's quite a few boxes.
For the benefit of video viewers.
Yes, benefit of video viewers. That is the default core box, which you can see there. And there's some bits and stuff on the back of it. But then that also came with another huge stretch goal box. And then that's the boss edition with Akuma and M. Bison, basically.
Okay. So for the benefit of audio listeners, yes, some of this stuff will be cut out. For the benefit of video listeners, I'll try put some higher quality pictures up in the
video for you to see. Yeah, and I've got some pictures I can send you as well, Coleman. So I'll send them across.
Okay, cool. That'd be great.
I think, I double-checked this the other day, I think it was £101, but then with a bit for delivery afterwards, basically. But
yeesh,
I got a fair bit for that money. Part of the reason I bought it through Kickstarter was the stretch goal stuff. And basically, it's a sort of, not quite deck building, but card battling and card, like hand management, card drawing game, where you're then also fighting each other on quite a large board with quite large pieces, but it's essentially just a grid with some of the kind of things cut off, and then some of the terrain is represented in like 3D, like trees and other bits and bobs, like boxes and stuff like that.
Diorama type style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And kind of, it's kind of, most of them are kind of cardboard representations of, but in 3D that actually take up space on the board and actually have a functional thing, like some of these, well, most of the environmental things, if you throw someone into them, it will break that piece of the environment, and also they'll suffer damage as a result of that, basically. So you can either throw or push or punch people into things to do them extra damage as well. But generally, you're kind of, drawing cards, and then from the selection of cards you have available, you can play them to attack or defend or counter-attack as you go back and forth, with players taking in turns to attack. I've only played a few games so far, and we haven't actually played like a full game or a full, like, you can play in like rounds, and it should be two out of three rounds, and I haven't played a full like match in that sense yet, mainly because it took a while to actually get through the rules and play stuff, and there is some complications to that, and it does get a bit complex in places, and kind of having to double check the rules and double check if that rule overrules that rule and stuff like that. But once you get used to that flow and how that kind of operates and works, and there's some good training videos out there of just some third parties that have put up some good ways of teaching you the game. But once you get through that side of things, it actually works quite well, plays quite quickly, does a really good job of representing Street Fighter in a sort of card game form. You can play from 2 to 6 players. Don't know if there's some single player content. There is an arcade mode that you can play through that I haven't really checked out. That was some of the stretch goal stuff. Like, they've got you've got the different levels that come with the base core set, which is the Air Force base and the kind of Japanese garden type thing. But then they've also got, in the Kickstarter stuff, they've got like two really short, small levels that are just a single strip instead of a grid. And they take place in Ryu's stage, and I forget where the other one is, one of the other environments, basically. But then, and as I said, there's an arcade thing, but there's a board that's for the bonus car stage as well. Like, so it's in three different stages of, crumpling the car and crumpling different zones of the car. I haven't really checked that out yet. And there's, some other weird stuff in it. Like, they had a little 3D... Street Fighter arcade machine that you can make out of cardboard and stuff like that as well. So there's some really nice little extras in there. It's really well done. The one thing I want to show off, which obviously again will only really work for the video listeners, but again we'll try and put up some photos, but the detail in the models is literally unparalleled. Just the detail in the face is pretty good, and like the detail on the base for each one is all different and individual. And yeah, like,
yeah. Forget the game. I just want to put those on display.
Well, that was one of the things. At the time, obviously, the disadvantage with Kickstarter is you don't really know what the gameplay is that you're getting. And this was a new system they were designing for the ground up from Street Fighter that I think they've announced Mortal Kombat and one other fighting game license as well, basically. But once you actually get those as well, they should be able to fight across different licenses as well, so you could have Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter as well. So,
yeah. Like, so that's really cool.
But going to be buying more of this in the future from what I've played so far. Basically,
well, that's what I was going to say. They look really cool, but that is so dangerous because, like, that's the thing with my whole amiibo thing. Like, I've got some variant here and there. Yeah. Like, I've got the gold Mario and the silver Mario and all that kind of stuff. But the only reason that I picked those up is because, like, the original Smash Brothers, they showed these little toy Nintendo characters that then became the character you were fighting as, and that's kind of the lore as the game went on. So the idea of them releasing the actual toys of the lineup of Smash Brothers, that's all I want in amiibo, is just the lineup of Smash Brothers, because I think that's a cool thing to have. And that's the same with the Street Fighter ones. But when you say there's the potential for other fighting game versions, but like that, and you've paid £100 and something to get this just Street Fighter stuff, I'd be like, that's so expensive for a game I won't play and I just want to put some figurines out on a mantelpiece.
It was £101 and then I paid for the transport and then in the UK, delivery, which was, I can't remember,
tax and 40, what have you.
50, 60 quid, something like that, basically. But they are three huge boxes, like the boss expansion, for example, that comes in its own boss. That's just two characters, but it's got all their cards in there. It's also got alternate levels and the stuff that comes with that as well.
And I don't suppose they were nice enough to label it as a gift to get through customs for you.
And then the boss mode has got, like, all the bosses have got, like, a mode where you can battle against the boss as well. And I think you can do that multiplayer and stuff. And, yeah, 2 to 6 players at once, I think I mentioned. But also, yeah, the one thing I didn't get to complete is I kind of theorized at one point that I was really glad they were concentrating on the models, because even if I didn't like the gameplay, which it seems like I do quite like the gameplay, and it kind of, it appealed to me and it seems like it's done well, so I'm quite pleased with it so far. But if that wasn't the case, then the models were good enough that they could just go on display and I'd be happy with having spent that amount of money on as many models as they got, basically. So I'm really glad that they did actually concentrate on that and did actually do a good job of delivering on them, to the point, where from everything I've seen about this, I don't know if you can still get on the Kickstarter, but I think you can possibly buy. They did say they were making some more for people to do that, and I'm not sure what stage that was ordering at. But at some point, I may look into ordering more of this myself. As I said, I'm definitely interested in the future ones they've got coming up as well. And having a few, like, crossovers between different fighting games sounds interesting. I may not buy quite as much as I've bought for this initial kind of one here. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind Sub-Zero and Scorpion and stuff like that in the future as well.
They look really cool. Do you know what I'd like is, like, a variant? Because they do this with, there's a few Kickstarter stuff backed in the past, and they'll go, here's an expansion we're making, and they'll put another Kickstarter for that, or they'll just outright sell it in their store and then put it up on their original Kickstarter page. Like, if they made the character, because my favorite Street Fighter, not character, but character sprite, is, you know when a character gets hit by, like, a fireball, and they're, like, the burning body flying backward. I love that character sprite. So if they did that as a model, I'd be all over
you'd
that.
You'd have to get that one, yeah.
That and the electrocution, you know. They're two really cool. They're iconic from arcade machines when I was a kid. I used to love seeing those. So I don't know, maybe I'm sadistic. Who knows? But yeah, it sounds like you've enjoyed that. And it's even though it's a lot of money, it's a Tim investment.
Yes, but I do think I'm going to get a lot of playtime out of it, because each character plays differently, and then fighting against a different character is a bit different as well. So the different amount of combinations you've got with that, the fact that you could play with, like, one-on-one, you could play with three people having two characters each, you could play with six people all having one character. And then there's various different modes as well. There's the arcade mode, which I mentioned before, but there's various different modes of playing different options as well. So yeah, like, there's quite a bit of game there, so I'm gonna get stuck into that a bit more, play that over the future weeks as well. But from what I've played so far, I've really enjoyed it and been really impressed with the production quality and with the kind of the rule book and the rules in it and the presentation of it overall, basically. So yeah, really happy with that purchase. That has been good.
I'd buy that for $1.
Well, we should get to the news then, because we've got a few headlines to get through this week and a couple that are updates to ones that we've spoken about in the past. So first of all, Sony, after I think 2 weeks, this news went along, 2-3 weeks now, they've decided they're actually going to keep the stores up for the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Vita. I assume the PSP, it's not mentioned in the initial blog post, but they will keep those up and you will still be able to buy your games, download your games, which is good for me because as I described the last time we spoke about this, I've dug my PS Vita out of the attic and I'm trying to play some games on there. But the system in which you download your games that you've already bought is absolutely terrible. And the easiest way to use it is remember a game you've bought, go on the store, search for the game, and then download it that way, which is annoying in itself because if you scroll through like the A to Z of games on the Vita store, it won't show you if you own something. You have to click into the game to see if you own it. Otherwise, it just displays price. But anyway, that's the easiest way to download. So if they were to take the store down and I had to use the download page and just keep scrolling to find the game I want, that would be incredibly irritating. But good news for those. Some people are claiming that this is a ploy. This was a ploy. They made a fake announcement to bolster sales on the Vita and the PlayStation 3. I highly doubt that.
In terms of speed of reversing decisions, just so we know we are on the scale, Sony, not quite as fast as Super League teams. Like, not quite as fast as reversing their decision. But faster than the Conservative government with Marcus Rashford nagging them about something. So, you know, somewhere in between the two.
It shows you that they've had to think about this because you'd expect the minute that all this kind of vitriol started when they announced this to go to do an Xbox, basically. Xbox at the start of the year, they went, hey, we're going to raise the price of Xbox Gold to a silly amount, and everyone went no, and they went okay, we're not going to do that, never mind, next, like within 24 hours. Sony took a couple of weeks to go, all right, we've thought about it, we've heard your complaints, and we're not going to go ahead with this. And I'm not sure if it's just this and then the Last of Us remake stuff went out and the focus on, you know, too big to fail video games over like niche little projects and stuff. I don't know if there was like a big collection. They go, we got to get a win quickly.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I think it depends how cynical you're feeling. I think if you're being as cynical as it could be, you can point at the fact that there's this kind of guerrilla marketing tactic these days of let's do something absolutely horrible, get some attention for it because we want the attention, and then get some good points by reversing the horrible decision. Like that's something that big companies do deliberately now. So it's not entirely...
How is Tottenham FC these days?
It's not entirely out of the realms of possibility that both Sony and Microsoft would be employing this tactic. So, yeah. It could also be the fact that the way they did things just helped cover up the fact that literally no one is complaining about them closing down the PSP store now, which they're still doing, basically.
Right, okay.
Because they were doing that at the same time as Vita and PS3. Now they're still doing that, but they're not doing PS3 and Vita, but no one's complaining about the fact that they're closing the PSP now. Because everyone went, you can close the PSP, but how the hell do you close the Vita at the same time as closing the PSP? That's not reasonable for your developers to know all that. And that's
but the
a fair
thing
enough
is,
criticism. But
if you close the PlayStation 3 store, then you know all those digital games are gone. Yeah. It's not like you can play those games on the PS4. But if you close the PSP store, you can still play those games on the PS Vita.
Right. I also think it's just possibly, you know, a lot of them pointed out the erosion of trust kind of criticism. Not necessarily that we want access to these. It's the, well, how can we trust you to buy games on the PS5 if you're no longer supporting stuff on the PS3 and the Vita? That sounds like it's less investing in your environment versus your competitor's environment, because Xbox actually preserved the fact that you bought a game years ago, you know, and multi-generational, and you're not even preserving the store for me to download those games. So yeah, I don't know. Without knowing, you know, behind the scenes stuff, it's very difficult to know if this was a deliberate ploy or whether they actually listened to criticism. Who knows? But it was definitely the right decision to reverse it, I believe. I think most people would agree with that.
I wasn't thinking of going on there and going, right, I've got to download all these PlayStation, Vita and PS3 games to make sure they're in my my zeitgeist still. I still have ability to use all those, because I've had my PS3 for I don't know how long, and I've yet to, since my PS4 came, I think I plugged it in once to play Deadly Premonition and that's it. But again, the Vita, it was in the attic.
Yeah.
And since I've had my Switch, I haven't even looked at the Vita. I was tempted to go on there and go, let's buy all the PlayStation Classic games, PS1 Classics available on the Vita. So I have them there because I like those, most of them.
See, I haven't played any of the previous handhelds, the 3DS, which I quite like, which has obviously got unique features and games that you can't really play on other platforms, even if they do help preserve them and pass them on. But yeah, like I don't know, like you tend to just stick with your most recent handheld, and Switch has done a really good job of doing that in this generation. The only thing that this reminded me of is, oh dear, I don't know about my PSP battery and my Vita battery. Are they going to explode somewhere in a box at some point? I should possibly do something about that. And then when someone mentions a PSP in another couple of years, I'll probably have the same thought until I eventually find an exploded battery in a box somewhere. But, you know.
I think my Vita's okay, but my PSP, I think I left that at my old flat. So sorry to the current owners of that flat if a PSP has exploded somewhere hidden in a wall space. More Sony news, as they've seemingly accidentally teased a PlayStation Plus video pass. So
yeah, this is weird.
If you remember, I think in January there was a interview with Jim Ryan where he was unveiling all the kind of going through the business model of PlayStation, the teasing at the future plans. They showed off the motion controller for the PSVR headset, the new PSVR headset, and teased the new PSVR headset and all that kind of stuff. But also they were asked about the if PlayStation would ever go up against Game Pass, if they have an answer to it. And he said, not yet, but we'll have something soon to talk about. I don't think this is what they were talking about, but could be
a part
of
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So on a Polish PlayStation website, they had a banner ad that accidentally went up advertising PlayStation Plus Video Pass. And it said, a new benefit available for a limited time on PlayStation Plus. PS Plus Video Pass is a trial service active between the 22nd of April and the 22nd of April 2022. The subscription benefit is available to PlayStation Plus users in Poland. Now, it is the 22nd of April today. I've not seen anything about this. However, time difference, all that kind of stuff, there might be something that leaks on later tonight. Might have happened right now, for all I know. I'll check that as we're talking later. But could this be... And the thing showed different Sony titles, so Bloodshot and what have you, that's available on Sony.
Okay. And presumably some Spider-Man upcoming Uncharted movie.
And what happened with PlayStation Video not that long ago, because you could... for a while, buy and rent movies and TV shows and stuff through the PlayStation Store. That was taken down at the end of last year or the start of this year.
I keep on forgetting that they do a video service. Like once in a generation, I'll get a new console and went, oh yeah, you're trying to push video content again. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they do weird things that they'll go, if you buy this movie, then you'll get some V-Bucks in Fortnite. You know, stuff like that. These weird crossovers. Or they would go, like when a film's just about to come out in the cinema, if you pre-order the home digital purchase for your PlayStation 4, then you'll, I think it was Tomb Raider. They went, if you pre-order the game, the movie, then you'll get the game for free or something like that.
Okay.
It was very odd. But anyway, I've seen, like, that's the only time I see this stuff. They pop up with these orders. I go, yeah, but I'm not watching movies on my PlayStation. I'll watch them through my PlayStation, but I'm not buying them on the PlayStation store.
No.
And so it seems there could be some form of Netflix or Amazon Prime type deal going through PlayStation Plus. I'm hoping this then, you know, they widen the net, PlayStation Now and all that kind of service all folds into one. We'll see what happens in the future, but keep an eye on that.
I think they've got to be again doing some big plans. Like you say, this could be part of it, but I think it makes sense if they're trying to push video content to do what they've been doing with PlayStation Plus and just add a bit of value to it for the PlayStation Plus members. while also reminding them every month that, hey, we do video content rather than once a generation. And that way, like, you get some free movies that you wouldn't possibly buy on a service, but it also might tempt some other people into going, okay, I've got a collection of movies here now, so I'll buy the occasional movie to go with that collection because I can watch it on all my PlayStation devices or something.
Yes. And as I say, I've just checked the news. There isn't anything more on this just yet, but as this podcast comes out on the 23rd of April, it might have well happened by the time this comes up. So keep your eyes peeled. Over on the green side, because me and the other Xbox Chads, we're dedicated fans. Yeah, Xbox Chads. Because we can't get our PlayStation 5, right. So we've reluctantly jumped to the Xbox, and now we're all in on this. Yeah. They made an announcement, as I mentioned earlier, in January they put the price of Xbox Live Gold up to a stupid amount and it looked like the idea was to kind of price people out of it, stop them using it, make them jump over to Game Pass Ultimate, and then eventually scrap that service. Too many people complained, it grabbed too many headlines in a negative light, and within 24 hours they went, nope, we're taking that down, we're not doing it, everything will stay the same. Also, we're going to remove the element where you need Xbox Live Gold to play online multiplayer games that are free to play. That has now gone into effect. It's going into effect. Mm-hmm. So that's going to affect 50 free to play games on Xbox Live now. No longer require a gold membership. So that's all right. If your kid just plays Fortnite and you need a platform to do it on, then Xbox is probably your way to go, because now you don't need to pay for any online subscription for them.
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, now PC players are going, we're doing this all the time. What are you talking about? But hey ho, for us simple console serfs, that's all we've been able to do for the longest time. And another update. So we spoke about this a little while ago. There were rumors that Discord was in talks with Microsoft. And I say was in talks with Microsoft.
Yeah. Among other potential buyers, but yep.
About a potential buyout is that Discord has reportedly ended its deal talks with Microsoft, and they've decided to remain independent and focus on potential initial public offering. So they might go public, which, if not bought by a big corporation, that's the other time that companies tend to go a bit belly up in their offerings. So this might be good, might be bad. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. We talked about this before, and the way Skype went downhill after being bought by Microsoft did not give any of us hope that this would be a good thing for users of Discord, maybe a good thing for investors of Discord or owners of shares of Discord. But yeah, for actual users, I think it's better that it's staying independent, I would have thought. But as you say, that remains to be seen in the future, but we'll see.
For what it's worth, I thought Skype was rubbish before they got bought by Microsoft, but there you go. This is reported on by the Wall Street Journal. Apparently, they were looking at an offer of $10 billion to pick
billion
up Discord.
Billion with a B.
Billion, which I just want to say, Microsoft, in all seriousness, if you'd like to buy Big Red Barrel for just $1 billion,
just a fraction of what you're offering. Just a small, lonely billion.
Yeah, we'll even throw in Tim.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Fine,
you can have him.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
You might have to throw him an extra meal just for Tim.
Just for me. Sweeten the deal.
I mean, he's got miniatures of fighting game characters to pick up.
I mean,
he's got to feed that filthy habit.
Like, I've got expensive taste. Like, I like consoles and expensive board games. So, you know.
But there you go. So for now, Discord remains independent. And as I just pull up some stats, because I did say to you, Tim.
So does Big Red Barrel, until we get that $1 billion offer. I assume we'll take $1 billion. Doesn't have to be £1 billion, yeah?
I did say to you before the show, we can talk some Outriders, because you continue to play Outriders. I continue to play Outriders.
Yes. If you've been a good boy, we
can talk about some Outriders. The reason that I've not played any MLB The Show. I just wanted to throw some stats out at you, because I took a quick look at your profile and I took a quick look at my profile before we started. You have played Outriders for 23 hours and 48 minutes. I have played for 1 day, 14 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, I would say that some of my time is split with my flatmate, who has been playing with me, but also then as a character of their own that they've been playing independently as well. So
okay.
Some of that time is not me.
I've got some other stats on top of this.
Okay.
So your achievements, you've got 20 of them.
Yep.
You've killed 5,455 enemies.
Nice.
You have completed 113 accolades and you found one legendary item.
Only the one.
I have 30 achievements, have killed 6,236 enemies. I've got 144 accolades completed and 7 legendary items found.
Seven?
Yes. Tim, you have played nearly 10 more hours than me. How are you so far behind?
Well, as I said, that split over 4 characters.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that is low level
stuff. You're wasting your time.
I haven't found any legendary stuff. But some of that was in the demo days as well. But then also, yeah, my flatmate's been playing and started again on another character. And even though I have played with some of their character as well, because I got it through the first boss fight. But yeah.
I also put it to you that you've got a terrible habit when it comes to these games of spending too much time in your inventory.
Oh, yes. This is a game of me staring at inventory. Literally, there have been gameplay sessions where I'm like, okay, I don't have long. Probably won't have enough time to play a mission, but could do some upgrades.
There's a dirty habit I have with these games, which I learnt in the end game of Avengers, Marvel's Avengers, that I've finally broken for Outriders, and that is I spend too much time upgrading worthless items before I get legendary items and then go, well, now I need to upgrade that one to a full point, but I've used all my resources in stuff that I wish I didn't. So in Outriders, you get your basic items, your grey items, you get your everyday, yeah. Your green, your blue, your rare. Purple is...
Purple's rare, and then brown is legendary.
It's meant to be gold.
Yeah, I know, it looks brown.
Brown is legendary, but yeah, it's the same as your Destiny system, but as exotics called legendary.
Yeah.
So the way I've played this game is I've not made any changes to anything until I've got gold items, and then those are the ones that I'm pouring all my resources into.
But see, the first legendary
I meant to play the game.
The first legendary I got wasn't great. It looked cool, but as a gun, it wasn't as good as the base gun that I'd already leveled up. So yeah. I ended up scrapping that just to get the mods.
You don't scrap the legendaries.
It had a level 3 mod.
Oh, I kept all mine and I've built them all up. I'm not a fan of the legendaries because what they like, they're all, and it's the same with the rest of Outriders. Is the more powerful you get, the more your armor and your items seem to consist of bone and sinew and not look as cool and sleek as the beginning armor. And I like more the future look than I have a machine gun made of teeth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the legendary does. But then I got a bit further in and I got a bolt action sniper rifle that looks a bit steampunky.
Okay.
And I was like, ooh, I like that compared to some of these abominations that I'm running around with. But yeah, I keep all of those and I upgrade them.
The one I had looked really cool because it was on fire. Like literally the gun was on fire the whole time for no reason. It didn't do flaming damage or anything. It was just on fire. And... yeah, that was cool. It looked good. But as I said, it wasn't as good as like 2 or 3 guns I already had, basically. So I was like, well, no.
I took a little through because I was playing last night as well. And also my main legendary that isn't a sniper rifle, like a regular machine gun type thing, it basically looks like a Gears of War Lancer if it was made out of meat and bone. And I hate it, but it's quite powerful and fun.
But
so there you go.
I'm still really enjoying the game. I don't know where you've got up to in the story without spoiling.
Using the power of achievements, and I like that there's little percentage lines, which they used to do in Gears of War towards the end, but they actually do it in the achievements themselves on Xbox. I'm 85% through the game.
Oh, okay.
So I've done all the headhunting and the hunting animals and all that kind of stuff on the way. And yeah, I've had a lot of fun in this game, more than I expected, playing the holy hell out of this. And I think it's kind of because when we played about 3 hours and a half of co-op together. And after playing that, because immediately jumping in, I was only a couple of levels behind you, but you seem to have put a lot of all your armor looked in sync and you looked cool and you had powers and stuff. And my guy was made of rags and just carry around dirt weapons. Like, all right, I've got to get to a decent level to play with Tim now. And it seems I'm 10 hours ahead of you, even though I'm 10 hours behind you now. So Yeah, we got to get back on the co-op and play some of this game.
Yeah, definitely.
Help get you to mainline through the story.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where, like, playing it in co-op, you're like, oh, I thought I was the last Outrider. Like, who are all these other people that are Outriders as well? And why don't you ever make reference to the fact that I've got friends here? They're my invisible friends helping me out.
Well, that's like the MMO conundrum where you start your game and then you meet the first NPC and they're like, you're the chosen one.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's a queue of chosen ones behind you waiting to speak to the NPC, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I wish there was a slightly more elegant thing to that, basically. Like, I don't understand why they didn't just frame the story of, yeah, you and your Outrider friends need to get together. You're the last group of Outriders. And, you know, there's not many Outriders left. They could have gone with that kind of narrative all the way through rather than, you're the final Outrider. I'm going to ignore the other two people standing right next to you. We're just all going to pretend there's only one of you here at any one time.
Well, there's more Outriders, but you're like the enhanced Outrider, basically. You're the one who got frozen and survived.
No, because I thought all the other Outriders died out. I didn't think there was any left.
Jakob's technically Outrider.
Yeah, but he just, an Outrider that didn't ride out. Basically, I don't know. I really enjoyed the game, and as I said, the narrative has pulled me through it, but it hasn't, for the hours I've got into it, it hasn't necessarily delivered. It's always a, hey, we need to get this next MacGuffin so that we can move on to the next MacGuffin discovery area. And it's just like, okay,
there is a lot of that as you progress. The story's not amazing in that game. And the more I play it, like, and as the story progresses, and in parts does kind of hook you in, and there's a lot of it. A lot of it is you've got to listen to the chatter as the gameplay goes rather than watch the cutscenes. And there is a lot of that aspect that is, it basically reminds me of Gears of War, which is funny because people can fly. They made one of the worst Gears of War games, but somehow made a really good modern day Gears of War game without lances and stuff. But it does really remind me of Gears of War a lot, playing this game. And we do need to play more co-op.
Yes, because I think it's good when you're playing co-op as well. Like, it works nicely.
There was a moment where I beat a boss, and then I think 2 days later you messaged me and went, help, stuck on a boss, and please help. And I was asleep, but you did it on your own. There are moments like that where I've gone, Tim, help. I'm playing like 2 a.m, so I don't want to go, Tim, help, jump on Outriders and give me a hand here. So I play it on my own, but I've been determined since playing with you not to drop my world cap down. So I'm on like world cap 8 or 9,
ooh,
I think
see,
now.
You've gone ahead of me on that. I think that's why you've got more legendaries as well. Because mine started stuttering, and as soon as you start stuttering with it, it's hard to get it going back up again. Mine keeps on dropping down to level 6.
The other thing is, because at some point you finish, there's bounty hunter missions where you go out and you find different altered type people. And you take them down.
I think I got one of those left.
And then you return their bounties and you trade it in for a weapon. If you beat them all, you get a legendary weapon,
ooh,
I think.
Worth knowing.
But what I did is I went back, because after I did them all and got the achievement and stuff, I was like, I quite like those. I'd like to do them now I'm super powered, not realizing the world just levels with you.
Yes.
So I went back and did them all again. And then,
and
after
then they're harder.
Whereas when you give it a bounty and it will go pick from one of these three legendary exotics, I don't know what they are when they're purple items. It just hands you the purple item instead.
Right,
goes, you get this one. You don't get to pick anymore. But if you go for all those, then it gives you another legendary item.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
I was quite happy for doing that. And I got a much better gun than what I was carrying at that point. But
good to know.
And the same is if you beat the, find all the beasties that you're hunting, then you get a legendary fit. I got some trousers that make me faster. You know, that kind of stuff.
I got one upgrade that literally changed the way my character works. Like one mod. I can't remember what it's called, but it's something that I put in my boots. I don't necessarily think you have to have it there, but it's a thing that makes your B go into like a morph thing where you can just travel through characters.
Oh.
Like literally, it changed the game for me. I don't roll anymore. My character doesn't roll. It does a, like a dash move that can, you can go through characters while doing it. And it's so good for boss fights and other stuff like that, basically.
Yeah, I'm waiting till I've unlocked legendary stuff on all my items, and then I'll go through and muck around with the mods and see what's the ultimate craft I can do. But there's little things like if there was one that helped me survive a boss fight that I didn't even know I had, and it was attached to some boots, and apparently I had the mod the whole time and not realized, but it made it so every time you pick up armor, your health goes to 100%.
Ooh.
And I did not know that. So I'm killing all these little enemies and picking up health and going, wait, my health's just jumping up. And then I looked at my mods and I went, oh yeah, that's pretty handy. Keep that. So yeah, I need to muck around with that. And as well, like all my consumables that are used for modding, they're all in their 10,000s now, 100,000s, because I never use anything. So anything I sell as well, I stop buying items and weapons and things, and instead I just, everything I find that I don't need, I sell, and then that I then use to buy titanium and just keep stockpiling titanium for upgrades.
I haven't found someone that can buy titanium yet, but yes, that will be very useful when it comes.
The woman that comes with you, the Mohawk, she'll sell you titanium.
Okay. And that's one thing I'll say about the game in general is, I don't know what it is, but they make me just, they're really not good at making me care about the characters in the game. It's like, oh, that one's about to die, or I'm battling that person from my group and they'll never be around again, maybe. Okay, fine, good. You can all go away. I don't really care. As long as the guy that does my upgrades is still in the camp, you can all go to hell. I really don't care.
Well, that was it. There was, because when we were playing, there was a woman in our group, and you went, why is this woman even in our group? And at this point, she's probably been in your group about 6 hours of storyline. And then I explained the storyline to you, like, did you not pay attention? This is what she's following, because this guy was, she wanted this one, and then you could bargain with the life, and she's still coming with you. And yeah, it was, it's not a great story, but it is one, if you pay attention with, you can get invested in as you go on.
I'm
but
still
it still
invested
doesn't make it great.
In the overall story.
I never thought Gears of War's story was
but
particularly
I'm still
good,
invested in the overall story of the world and us getting out of the valley and, you know, and exploring the greater mysteries that they kind of set up in the beginning that they still haven't quite paid off with yet, but I'm still hoping they pay off with at some point in the game, basically. So,
well, yeah, once you get out of the, because spoiler alert, at the start of the game, you're in a forest. Later in the game, you go back to that forest.
Right.
Once you get out of that forest, then the storyline starts getting a bit weird.
Okay.
you got that to look forward to.
Oh, good.
All right, that's our little, Dan's not here, let's talk about some Outriders. Although Dan got put in the beta for Xbox Game Pass on iOS PC browser. So he might actually be able to, I played some on the browser this morning, but I was only playing Chance of Rain, I think it was called, a little mobile type game that's on the Xbox Game Pass at the moment. Funny little game, little rain cloud, you rain on people, it's fun. but I haven't tested out anything like, because the problem with Outriders on Game Pass is, it's a shooter, and also it's online connectivity on an online streaming game.
I've had a few issues with online connectivity in general as well. Like a couple of like times it's booted out. Not anything terrible, but yeah, it's noticeably an online game, basically.
I've had, and it was an issue that appeared early on in the game that I spoke about when we were talking about this the first time, was literally a cutscene finished and then it just went back to the title screen without warning. And it wasn't like there was a loading or anything. It just instantly went to the title screen. And the same happened to me last night as well as I was playing. And that, like, those are literally the only two big problems I had.
Yeah, at the start of the game, I had lots of like audio loop things going weird, like audio bugs where like just one sound effect would get stuck in the buffer or whatever, and it would just keep on doing that sound effect until you completed the whole level. And it's like, oh, that sound's gone. Oh, thank God.
There is a visual glitch that I'm surprised hasn't been fixed yet, but it's been there since the launch of the game, and I was surprised last night when it, because there's these side missions you do where you find artifacts from the old world and bring them to this woman, and she makes a little library out of them, and those kind of stop for a little while, but then they start
again.
The
historian thing, yeah.
Yeah, and each time I hand her something, she picks it up, and she's like talking to you, the mouth is moving, everything, and then you hand her something, and then face is completely frozen, and then she goes, and she's talking, and she's just frozen-faced, moving slowly to the shelf.
Do you also find...
And I was surprised to see that still does it last night, every item.
Do you also find that the quest tracker thing that shows you the, you know, shows you the route to go to the next checkpoint type thing, that goes a bit haywire, especially in the jungle and just generally at
times? Yeah, sorry, there is an annoying glitch in there that I completely forgot about. So every now and then, and last time we were playing, it kept going, as a side mission, you have to go through this thing, yeah. but usually you have to use your powers to get rid of it. And I went, oh, we've probably not progressed far enough in the story to unlock that point. That was still happening to me.
Yeah, it's just broken.
Further on. Yeah, you've literally just got to leave that area to go to a different area and then walk back into the area and do it again. And it is, and I only realized last night that it wasn't a progression thing. The whole time this has been happening, I have to go out and back in.
The other thing that I found accidentally is you can literally just use the map or just stumble across the actual place you're supposed to be going that it won't lead you to, and then it will let you progress. So
right.
if you find it accidentally or know where it is or look it up online or whatever, then fine. But yeah, that guiding line is very handy, and but if you just lead to it all the time, it will lead you wrong at some points in the game. It gets a bit confused and tries to take you like into one of those shortcut things that it won't activate and won't let you go through, but is also the wrong way to go anyway because it's taking you in the wrong direction.
Well, I mean, yeah, there are still some jank that I forget about and then suddenly it all comes flooding yes. back to me. But at the same time, it's not hindered my... I mean, if I paid full price for this game, I'd probably be annoyed. But because it is part of a subscription, I've got more leniency to what's happening. And I'm getting enough out of it. I've yeah. played over a day's yes. worth of the game.
And I think there are things that would annoy me and would annoy me more had I paid for it. But at the same time, I still think it's a really good game that I'm really enjoying and have got quite a lot of playtime out of. And yeah. I'm like, in a way, I wish this game was a little bit shorter so I could finish up and go play through again as another character now that I know what I'm doing and know how all the upgrade right. systems work and all that type of stuff. But yeah, like I generally, you know, if there's too much game, that's not a bad criticism. There are a few janks and bugs in there, but that's possibly because there is so much game that it's taking a while to get through everything and quash some of those bugs, which I don't mind. I'm not going to fault a game for being ambitious, basically, kind of thing. And I like what they've delivered in terms, you know, when it works and when it works properly. It's a really good, fun, enjoyable game that I've been enjoying and playing lots of because I've been enjoying it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. Right, well, there you go. We got to wax lyrical about Outriders even a bit more
yeah.
than we were intending to. So before we go, we have got a bit of housekeeping to get through. So, Tim,
yes.
Is there an update for Geek Out for Gosh this week?
Final figures from the Sales of Hope type stuff. I got Ooh. Some final confirmation and official confirmation of the final figure raised. So it was £81,000 or thereabouts through the actual sale of the sales themselves, the Sales of Hope through Sea of Thieves, but then also alongside that there was also another £5,000 raised through streaming, through people streaming and raising money that way as well. So thank you very much for anyone that took part in that, whether you bought the sales or whether you supported someone that was doing it or whether you did some streaming yourself. Yep, just thank you very much to everyone involved. There will be more news in the future. There's been some movement behind the scenes on a few things, and there's some quite cool news coming up, but I don't know when I can share that yet, basically. But anyone interested in doing it, you can still, there's no like active campaign for some DLC at the moment, but at any point in time you can still be streaming for Gosh and just help raise some money for them. You get an exclusive Insert Coin Tease Geek Out for Gosh t-shirt and pin if you raise over £250. There are more details on Geek Out for Gosh kind of social media channels, Twitter, Facebook and the like, and you can check out some more details on Great Ormond Street Hospital's website. Search of Geek Out for Gosh on their website as well. So yeah, and we'll put some details.
So gosh.org for Great Ormond Street Hospital. They've got quite a long URL to get to their Geek Out for Gosh page, so it's better to just Google Geek Out for Gosh find it that way. And on Twitter, Geek Out for Gosh, four being a numeral,
yep.
and find it that way. Good. Over on the Discord, over on our various social media platforms, you can get in contact with us on, for instance, if you wish to leave us a comment, you can do so on BigRedBarrel.com. If you want to find us on Discord, we have a link to it on our website. We're available on Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel and over on YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. Over on our Discord, we have, not heard from him for a while, Ricardo Kirkendinster. He's changed his name from the several times I used to make fun of his name. He has asked very quickly, how did you miss Return of the Pack as an episode title last week?
Come on, it was right there.
I know it was right there. So if you didn't know, last week's episode was called The Pack is Back. And the reason I called it The Pack is Back, because I didn't explain within the episode.
Right.
There was like a big relaunch of Pac-Man in 2014. And there was a new video game, Pac-Man's World. And there was a TV show and stuff tied into it. But when
probably
they were advertising it, when I... It's around about the time that I was very new into to the whole video game press scene and stuff, and I was getting a lot of PR emails, and I just got this email with the title, The Pack is Back, and I found that infinitely hilarious, and a lot of other sites found it infinitely hilarious at the same time, and I think that was like the lyric to the TV show's theme tune or something as well. It was pointed out on the... But anyway, I took it from that and then didn't share why I found that so funny. But
I mean,
Return of
the
Pack is a brilliant
name. Old Pac Donald had a farm. I mean, that was right there.
No. Return of the Pack once again. Yeah, I would have liked that. Ed, he has asked us, you have to play a game from start to finish, but the developer has to sit next to you the entire time and is allowed to trash talk your play skills or encourage you as much as they want. Which game and developer?
Portal.
Okay.
And I can't remember, something Swift was the lady's name that made the original one, I believe.
Taylor Swift.
That was it. Taylor Swift, indeed.
Good.
Tay-Tay talking me through, what's it?
She said,
Portal.
Tim, you got to play. And
Tim, you gotta
GLaDOS is now a potato.
There.
Yeah, I specifically remember, I don't know if they did it in the first game, but in Portal 2, you could activate like a developer's commentary mode. So as you're playing through, they talk you through the game. I quite liked that.
Might have been in the first one, because I think the orange box had quite a lot of extra features as well, didn't it? Because it was re-releases of a few games and they stuffed a few things like that. But yeah, maybe.
What was the Jonathan Blow PS4 game?
The Witness?
Where you do The Witness, that's it. When I played The Witness,
free
I felt
on PlayStation at the moment. Everyone,
oh good,
grab that and a few other games, Abzu and a few other things.
Whenever I played The Witness, I felt like Jonathan Blow was sat next to me going, "No, you're doing it wrong." So it kind of felt like that. Otherwise, I mean, when Brutal Legend was coming out, I was very excited about it. When it came out, I was very disappointed with it. And then after I revisited it last year and completed it, I absolutely love that game. So
okay.
I'd like to play that game with Tim Schafer.
Okay,
That'd
I thought you
nice.
Were going to make Tim Schafer cry by sitting there going, look at this rubbish RTS. What are you doing? What game did you make? No one wanted this.
I mean, if I could, I'd have Tim Schafer could like talk me through the game and the processes and stuff as I'm playing it and like what his inspiration was, while Jack Black sits next to me in character as Eddie Riggs, and then he can like shout at me that I'm doing it wrong.
And considering it's Ed, I have a better answer for him as well.
Go on then.
Heavy Rain.
No, you see, what you want to do when you are playing this level is you let me stand behind you and inappropriately touch you around this part of your body, just cupping my hands under your little man
Don't
breasts.
Don't disrespect the gauge.
Tweak the nipples. Just tweak the nipples, Tim.
Disrespecting David Cage, and I don't like it. Not one bit.
I'm going to lock you in my David Cage. Yeah.
Get.
Did you know I worked with Elliot Page? Good.
Yes.
Yes, we did. Thank you. Thank you, David. Okay. Back to your box. All right. Yes, that is all the stuff we've got time for this week. If you'd like to give us a review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Stitcher, and Castbox. Those are the ones that we tend to see. If any others appear, then I will add them to the algorithm. But for now, you can leave us any of those reviews, and it will really help us in the rankings, apparently. I don't know what rankings or where, but apparently they help. I've been told it was prophesied by the gods. Raiden and Kratos.
And Coleman did probably. Cometh down from the mountain with great news.
And yay, he
and
did edit the podcast
joy.
Till 2 in the morning. Yes. Also, the other reason I come up with, I miss the most obvious podcast titles is because I'm usually done editing at like 2 in the morning and I'm tired and I my brain doesn't work that way.
Yes.
So that's the other reason why. Sometimes I wake up and go, that should be the title, and then I'll change everything at the last minute, but there you go. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this episode 438 of Big Red Barrel UK, or BRB UK,
just 438.
Hopefully we'll have Dan back next week. Not promising any promises. Maybe we'll all be
Don't
off next week.
Don't promise any promises, Coleman. That's the wrong thing to do with promises. Not promising any promises.
Maybe we'll all be missing next week and the show will be entirely hosted by...
Cheese.
Yoshi Fett. Why not? People would probably like that.
People probably would. Listeners
probably like that.
I'd like that, yeah. To be fair.
Good. So, until next time, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening. I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
We'll be back next week.
I also might have been clean-shaven this week, which, if you're on the video
clean-shaven
thing,
and a haircut.
This is very rare. Almost as rare as me playing a baseball game.
Until next time, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening once again. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Hey.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.